good day to you whenever it is you're tuning in to us. Oh, a loss this past weekend with Chuck Berry, and as many say, God rock his soul. We're going to get going with Representative Marcus Oshiro. Now, in this legislative session, the longstanding push for medical aid in dying has once again captured lawmakers' attention. The passionate debate runs both ways, though supporters believe the research clearly shows public opinion is on their side. Even so, the latest version of SB 1129 SD2 contains 16 amendments. Those who oppose the bill continue to say it could lead to elder abuse or even shorten the lives of people who could outlive their prognosis. Representative and Majority Policy Leader Marcus Oshiro might agree with that. He's one of the voices of the opposition. He joins us now. Aloha.
Aloha.
Nice to have you here. When did you start looking at this from a critical standpoint in terms of how you would come down on which side?
I started looking at this at the beginning of the year when I knew that there would be bills put into the House and into the Senate when Speaker Joe Suki made this a priority for his address at the onset of the session. So I knew I had to really study this. And I took an approach based upon my experience as a deputy prosecuting attorney and also a private a practice attorney doing wills and trusts in Wahiawa.
That said, it is interesting to note that you've said that some of those who are on the support side are also your friends, including John Ratcliffe. How do you reconcile some of your personal feelings with someone who you say is a friend, who we know is dying, who is in support of a bill that's clearly moving at the ledge, and also some of the critical issues that you say that are problematic?
It's very difficult. Not only is he a friend, I've worked with him on measures in the past. We agree on most items of policy in Hawaii today. But on this one here, I have to part company with my friends like John and even some of my mentors like Mitsuoki at the University of Hawaii School of Religion, my good friend A.Q. McArath, one of my influencers in my life, and really take a critical look at the bill and think about the most vulnerable, the weak, and the innocent who may be affected by this law.
What about those who say, well, you could almost use that remark on the other side, too, by saying that there are those who clearly want to feel that they have some control over their lives and that this bill would allow them to make a choice when they have few other options?
I think that's one of the facts that I discovered, that there really is no choice. Number one, the doctor is still the gatekeeper on who is eligible for this means of ending their lives. Number two, there is no witness at the time of death to verify that the patient on their own decided to take the lethal medication. There's no after-the-effect ability of law enforcement to investigate the actual circumstances of death. And the records are not made public. And, of course, this gives a blanket immunity to anyone who is involved in this protocol. Clearly, no civil or criminal liability.
So let's take some of those things apart for a second. The idea that there would have to be a witness would be something that would satisfy you in allowing someone to make the choice and going through the whole protocol of having to wait the 15 days, reasserting that wish, then having it filled, and then having the prescription brought home?
Well, I think there's more than just that. I think the people need to understand and read the bill and walk through it. You know, you could have as little as four people involved in this decision affecting the patient. You would have a provider, of course, a consultant provider, and then you may have two witnesses. And the two witnesses, one of them may be an heir, may be a partial beneficiary through law or by instrument, but it could also be a person who's a total stranger off the street without any knowledge of the circumstances of the patient, whether or not there's any undue duress, whether there's any undue influence. So, you know, as little as four people could make a decision. And again, there is no oversight by any of the other doctors, the medical boards, or law enforcement at the back end after the person passes on.
Marcus Oshiro, in the latest version of it, wasn't there a stipulation that the witness couldn't have something to gain from the death of this person or be an heir?
That's correct. It does allow, though, that you need two witnesses. One can be an heir. One can be a employee of a long-term care or assisted living facility or a care home who may have a different interest than the patient, at the forefront.
About the idea that you can't see these records, that they're private. On one hand, that might trespass into somebody's privacy, depending upon how those records would be made public. But on the other hand, you're saying if you're just looking for raw data, that could be shielded to be able to show how many had been accessing this. Now, we hear from those who are proponents of the bill that there haven't been any misuses or abuses in other states, and many point to Oregon. Did you also find that?
Yeah, I've been looking at the Oregon reports online for the past several months now and studying them in great detail. You wouldn't expect to report any divergence from the law only because they're not asked for. And I think most importantly is that as we speak, we know as fact that the current law does not authorize the department in Oregon to do any investigation, to do any follow-up on a non-submittal by the doctor. In fact, over the last 20 years, not one doctor has been investigated, not one case has been brought. And it doesn't say much about the security and safety of the system. What it says is that this system is set up to intentionally, deliberately not allow for any after-the-fact investigation. I just also want to add, Beth Ann, that the death certificate will state cause of death being the underlying disease, let's say diabetes or cancer, but it will not state the real cause of lethal ingestion of medication. That will not be on the death certificate. The coroner will not get involved to do an investigation, and the body will go from the person's home straight to the crematorium, where it will be either embalmed or it would be cremated. And at that point in time, any evidence of foul play would be compromised or destroyed. So after the fact, there would be no investigation. My fear is that unlike your family and my family and most listeners' families who affectionately love their sick and dying family member, we have to acknowledge that there are some families that may use this as a means of getting a parent or grandparent on their way for personal reasons. And that's a fear that I have, that the innocent, the weak, the frail, the vulnerable may be victims of this policy.
We need to go in just a minute, but you could almost say, though, that in saying that, that could disadvantage those people who are very much loved and who say, please, I don't want to stay in this state. My life is effectively over, and I don't want to be a burden to my grandchildren or to my children. It's time for me to go on my own terms. Is there anything that could be changed about this bill that would satisfy you so that the people who are so well-loved and who do want to make that choice would be able to?
I think we need to let people know that too few people take advantage of the palliative care that's available for them with the modern drugs and the treatment today. Too few people are aware of the hospice programs that are available. In fact, 35% of those who are eligible take advantage of hospice, which at the onset gives you 6 months of personalized day-to-day care. And I think that's where we need to start, Beth Ann.
All right. So what I'm hearing you say is no, you want to see people simply going down the path of palliative care and hospice as opposed to being able to have the choice to say, I'm out?
Yeah, I can't see us finding any fix to this policy here because there is no way of having a clear oversight to make sure that the patient's wishes at the end of life are truly the patient's wishes. There is no witnesses there. There's no review of the decision. And there's even no evaluation of whether or not the patient has the right frame of mind to make this decision. That's not required in the current draft that we've seen so far.
Which seems to say that perhaps if those things were required, you might have a time to change your mind, too. For the moment, we've got to go. Thanks very much for being here.
Thank you.
State House Representative Marcus Oshiro is also the majority policy leader. He represents District 46, Wahiawa, Whitmore Village, and Laonani Valley. He is a member of the Health, Human Services, and Judiciary Committees and is a former deputy prosecuting attorney. And he is opposed to SB 1129 SD2, the Medical Aid in Dying Bill.